Okay, I'd like this to start with our speaker.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everybody. I am Michelle M., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Chicago. And I can say without a shadow of a doubt, every fiber of my being, this program saved my life. It has completely uprooted what I was living in disease, despair, and misery, and has put me on a track where I have fellows, I have family, and I'm able to live one day at a time. And I never, ever thought that was something that would happen. So to start by qualifying in, I have an abstinence date of February 1st, 2021. I work with a sponsor. I currently sponsor women. I abstain from my alcoholic foods and behaviors. By the grace of God, I have released just over 75 pounds. And one day at a time, I am living and diving into this program and learning day by day how to live life without turning to the food and behaviors. So I guess I can start by saying at a very young age, like many people in the rooms, I was drawn to food. A lot of the pictures from family events, it's me staring at the birthday cake with eyes glassed over, completely marveling at food. I remember events as a little girl based on the food, or, you know, I was in dance recitals a lot. There was always cookies after. And, you know, those were how I classified milestones in my life. I thought that's kind of what everybody did. I had no idea that food was not something that people thought about all the time, even as a little girl. In high school, I was very driven by, you know, this idea of weight loss and what does it mean to lose weight and how do you lose weight? And I dabbled in restriction for a few years and some purging behaviors, but it wasn't my main thing. It wasn't my kryptonite. And I met with a dietitian in college after experiencing some heartburn and some physical body symptoms from some of the purging. And she said, stop doing that. And I said, okay, I don't have a problem. And I'll be honest, for that behavior, I never did it again. But sometime around my junior year of college, something flipped inside of my brain. And I often think of what it says in the big book. It says, liquor, or in my case, food, ceased to become a luxury and it became a necessity. And that is definitely my experience. I went from thinking I had some semblance of control to every moment of my day was run by the next bite. And if I didn't get that next bite, all hell broke loose. And it was absolutely demoralizing. My college experience was losing friendships, completely overrun by restlessness, irritability, being discontent. I had no idea why. I thought it was because I was just an overweight girl. And if I were to lose the weight, my life would get better. And because I had never lost the weight, therefore, you know, this is the root of my issue. I was completely obsessed with food. And when I graduated from college back in 2013, I moved back home with my family. And for the first time, I had to learn how to mask my disease. You know, I've been used to living by myself for the last 4 years. I could do whatever I wanted. And it took me 2 weeks. That's it. 14 days to say, I can't do this. And for my parents and my family to become deeply concerned with what has been happening. And I checked myself into my first rehabilitation program for binge eating and compulsive eating. Actually, binge eating. I didn't know compulsive overeating was a thing. I then spent the next 6, 7 years of my life in and out of different rehabilitation programs. I would, you know, it would be, I know I'm crazy. I know I'm powerless. Something's wrong. And I would do what I always found secure, which is go to a doctor. Okay. I'll go to a doctor. They will fix me. And I would be in and out of these programs over and over and over again. Meanwhile, I was working full time. Very grateful that I got a job out of college. And every program that I was in, I was never able to execute a meal plan. I was never able to stop at just one. And I didn't understand why some of the other girls seemed, you know, I put that in quotes, or guys as well, because there were guys in the program as well. They seemed to grasp what was, you know, what people were telling them, and I couldn't get it, right? Why can't I just lose weight? And while this is happening, I'm going to general practitioners, and they're telling me, Michelle, you are 23 years old and you're going to need to go on cholesterol medication soon. You are going to get type 2 diabetes, right? Like, you, things are getting really, really serious. And the more scared I got about my disease, the more I gripped onto someone needs to help me. I don't know what to do. My entire 20s, my relationship was just with food. I didn't have a boyfriend. I didn't really have friends. I didn't have much of a social life or a life at all. It was food morning, afternoon, at night. When I woke up in the morning, the way to get me out of bed for work was there were breakfast pastries in the cafeteria. I could get there to get me through the day. Okay, I'm going to go to the vending machine after work. Okay, you just got to make it after work. You can stop at this place on the way home. And eventually I was introduced to Overeaters Anonymous, and I came into the rooms in Chicago, December 17th, 2017, I believe, could be wrong on the year. And I heard about OA from somebody in AA, and she knew what I was going through. She knew that I was just constantly checking myself in and going insane and basically putting my entire life on hold. And she told me about OA. And I showed up to my very first meeting, and my current sponsor was actually speaking. And she was talking about a blueberry muffin, and which for me was one of my kryptonite pieces. And I said, I want that. I want to be able to have it in moderation, right? And I can do it. I just need to want it more. The concept of being powerless was not there at all. And I got a sponsor immediately. And I had tried to work for about a year, I tried to do intuitive eating and abstaining from just a few items like dessert, particularly, that was my experience. And I was also engaging in some other substance issues. And I realized that wasn't working for me. So my last and final hospital check-in took place. And I said, okay, I understand I'm powerless, right? I'm powerless. It's still not working. All these people are showing up to the rooms and saying they're so happy, joyous, and free, and they're walking on a cloud, and it's so wonderful, and I'm not getting it. So I go to this rehabilitation place, and they say, okay, you need to get clean from some of your other substances. I had manipulated a doctor into prescribing me a few different forms of medication so I could abuse it and try to control my appetite. And I had worked on getting clean from those. And from there, it was off to the races with my disease. My hunger was back in full swing. And within a period of 4 months, I had gained over 65 pounds. My body was ripped apart. I was physically in agony. I could not stop binging. And it wasn't even just binging. I just couldn't stop consuming all day long. I would walk down the street and cry just because I thought, I'm going to die. I don't want to live anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired. And I have a journal entry from October of 2019. And in this journal entry, I read it often. And I said, I understand why eating disorders have the most, I think it's like the highest mortality rate or something. And I said, because this is, I'm insane and no one can help me. And not even OA, a spiritual program, can help me. So I decided one more time to work with a sponsor. And I picked up the phone for my first sponsor and said, okay, I'm clean from substance and I can't stop eating and I need help. I didn't necessarily want what this sponsor had. I said, I just want something, just help me, right? So I started working with this sponsor. I had put down all of what I had called recreational sugar. So I abstained from dessert. And for that year, my weight did go up. I put down the recreational sugar. I, you know, just picked up other things to binge and compulsively overeat on. And I really just didn't want to admit what I was powerless over, right? Like I believe it says, and I apologize, I forgot my big book, but I believe it says somewhere that, you know, or maybe it's the AA 12 and 12, who wants to recognize that we're in complete defeat? Like, who wants to do rigorous honesty? I didn't, right? Like, I, other than the food obsession, like, I was stealing things all the time. I love to steal. Self-checkout and me, we were best friends. I love to lie. I love to cheat. I love to be manipulative. It was how I lived. I got a thrill from it, right? Like, it was just a walking tornado. Every relationship that I came in contact with, it was like, boom, poof, gone. So I worked with the sponsor for a year. And during that time, it was COVID. It was 2020. And I will say, even if it wasn't the abstinence for me, I got through that year. I got through that year with those substances being put down, which I had thought were my, you know, the only things I needed to abstain from. And then lo and behold, my stepmom passed away on Christmas morning. And it was a very sad, traumatic experience. I've never seen a loved one pass that was so close to me. I'd never seen anybody suffer. And from being in such a selfish state of mind, I didn't know how to handle it, right? Like, I didn't know how to handle the empathy and the love and the emotion of how do I handle this? And before this happened, the night before she passed, I had picked up the phone and I had seen my current sponsor in some of the local rooms that I was in, and something was happening. First of all, I saw her physical body was changing right before my eyes, which really had piqued my interest. But she was talking about, she used the word recovered, right? Not cured, recovered. And I'm like, what's recovered? You know, she talked about the big book. Okay. I don't really know what that is. And I decided to pick up the phone and call her. And I talked about what was happening. And she said to me, point blank, sounds like all your substances aren't down. And I went, you know, what? I'm abstinent though. People are telling me I'm abstinent every month on the 21st. I am abstinent. And I'd say, yes, I am abstinent. Sure, I feel like garbage, but like, I'm abstinent. And she'd say, but are you recovered? Are you working the steps? Do you have freedom? And I didn't. So my stepmom passes away. And there are a lot of people in the rooms who don't have a hit them in the face spiritual experience, right? Like, it's not uncommon. Some people do, some people don't, but something happened to me when my stepmom died. And I said, where I'm at right now, I have two choices. I cannot stay where I'm at. My current program is not sufficient. I can either try something more, lean in and fully surrender, real honesty with myself. What am I still abusing? Or I can go back in the food. And I was driving to my dad's house to help him with a few things, arrangements. And I picked up the phone and I called her. And she said, okay, are you willing to go to any lengths? Are you ready to be done? And I said, I am, but I'm scared. And she said, you're allowed to be scared. And I will say to the newcomer, you are allowed to be scared. You're allowed to be scared to put the food down. You're allowed to be angry, right? You're allowed to have misgivings, but we consent anyway. And I will tell you, after working with her for a few weeks and learning, right? Like, I needed to learn, what do I do, right? Like, guide me, take my hand. I don't know what to do. This is the only way I know. And I started attending meetings that had a different energy about them. There was hope in the meetings. Everybody had a spring and a sparkle. And I started doing outreach. I picked up the phone and I called people who I didn't know, people across the country. I started talking to what I, you know, this higher power, right? Like, I had a really hard time with praying for a long time because I don't know if you guys know this, but people in the rooms, they might struggle with this perfectionism thing. And I wanted to have the perfect prayer if I was going to connect with my higher power. And I didn't know how to pray. I've never prayed before. What I did was I started talking out loud, just casual conversation to my higher power. I personally call my higher power God most of the time, sometimes, and it shows up in all different ways, butterflies, water, nature, fellows, fellowship, anything that's bigger than me. And I started growing this concept while I learned from my sponsor and I learned from the people who were walking the walk and talking the talk. And last but not least, I attended, for me, a sober eating workshop. And I said, I'm no one's looking at my notebook, right? The only person looking at this notebook is me. I don't have to be afraid to say I have an issue with white rice, right? Like, no one else is, this program, I was used to a doctor saying, you have to do this, this, and this. And naturally, if someone tells me to do something, I would say, I don't want to do that, right? So I learned that the only person I'm cheating is myself, if I'm not honest. The only person who isn't going to experience freedom, happy, being happy, joyous, and free, it's me. It's not my sponsor. It's not the doctor. It's not my next door neighbor. I'm the one who suffers. So I got rigorously honest with myself in this notebook and God. And I put it down. And for the first time in my life, I put down everything I was powerless over. And my sponsor would say to me, and I would say, I'm scared. I'm scared to put it down, right? And she would say, it's okay. God's got you. And I'd say, well, what does that mean? And she'd say, just go forward and you'll see. You'll see. God's got you. And I will tell you, my first 90 days of abstinence were utter bliss. I could not even, between putting the physical substance down, but also the combination of leaning in, learning from others, shutting my mouth, right? Like, for me, I had to be quiet. I had to listen. I had to stop fighting with anyone and everything, right? And I learned. And for 90 days, I would be in the car. And at the time, I spent 9 months living at my dad's house, which I'll be honest, that's for another program. But, you know, and I learned to be in that program now, and that's okay. But my dad's house for me was a binge eater's dream. And I made it 9 months. That was not done by me. None of this was done by me. This was bigger than me. And I would be in the car and I would just be crying, sometimes sobbing for months because I couldn't believe how amazing I felt. And it wasn't because I took a pill. It wasn't because I went on a fad diet. It wasn't because I ate some magic vegetable that made me happy. I had been honest. I had felt relief. And it was like I could see the world for the first time the way I was meant to see it, just me, with all of my filters removed, no substance, no numbing. And then what happened was life happens, right? Like, we come into these rooms because we have an issue with dealing with life. We don't want to deal with life. We don't want to feel it. And every time someone would say, like, oh, well, you're eating emotionally, I'd say, I feel fine. I just want that. But what I learned is, it's not emotionally eating. We just don't know how to deal with uncomfortable emotions. And we'd rather direct our attention to something that's more comforting. And for me, that was my couch, a blanket, and a pint of ice cream, along with a number of other things. I will say, what does my life look like today? I show up and get to meetings. I have fellowship weekends with people from OA all over the country. I pick up the phone even when I don't want to. And when there are times when I don't pick up the phone, I feel it inside, right? I had gone through a period of my recovery where everything I was doing wasn't good enough, right? I need to do more. I didn't do this good enough. I didn't do that good enough. I didn't do this good enough, right? I need to get to more meetings. I need to sign up for this workshop. I need to write differently. I need to write longer. I need another fourth step. And what I realized, the whole point of this program, God says in the big book, we relax and take it easy. We do not struggle, right? We let our higher power take the reins. So that means I take care of myself differently. It means I pick up the phone when I need to, when someone calls me, and also by taking care of myself with boundaries, right? Doesn't mean I pick up the phone at 4 a.m. when I'm sleeping. I take care of myself. And that, you know, with starting program, it was very checklist, boom, 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 boom. I need to do this. And I needed to do that. I really needed to do that to get in the habit of things. This is when I send my food. I commit my food to my sponsor every night. I share if I make changes. I am honest. For me, I measure my food. And I enjoy my life. And I will say, you know, I'm a baby in this program with recovery. I am a baby, and I am learning every single day what it means to show up and live, right? So like right now, I'm learning to have fun again. I used to be a dancer. I danced for 15 years of my life, 15 years. And then my little disease voice said, "You're not a small girl. You can't do that." And I never danced again, ever. And now I'm looking for dance classes to sign up for. That's not me. That is higher power. I want to learn to paint. I might be terrible at it, but I want to do it. I want to be outside in the fresh air. Disease didn't let me do that before. Guess what? I have a choice now. I have a choice to show up. And all of these things, even though they're not related to the food, right? Even though, yeah, I may be in a smaller body, it's my whole life has blossomed and opened up because of this program. I'm dating for the first time really ever. And it's hard and it's uncomfortable. And I have people that I can pick up the phone and talk to about it. I do not go through this alone. I do not go through life alone. I consult others. I listen to people who have more experience than me. I listen to people who have less experience than me, right? Like we learn from each other, and it's through our utter defeat that we get better. It's, you know, it's not like I used to think that I needed to get it together first before I went back to OA. I would say, okay, I need to get it together. I need to lose about 10 pounds. I need to have everything sorted out before I went back to the rooms. And what I'm seeing is you go to the rooms when you're in that place, but because in order to get better, this is where you get better. This is where you get help. And there's, you know, we need to ask for help. We need to surrender. We need to be open-minded. And we need to have willingness. Let's see, I have about 5 minutes and I just want to touch on what does my higher power want me to touch on? Service. That just came to me. Not sure what's going to come out. I have always been told that service is the secret, right? Service can mean lots of things. Service can mean sponsorship. Service can mean showing up to the meeting right now as you are. Service can mean picking up the phone and helping others. But I also want to mention service is things for people outside of program too. And that is an area in my life that is also very much blossomed. I lived my life very selfish and self-centered, as we addicts do. Shocking. And I didn't want to contribute, right? Like I didn't want to participate. I wanted it done for me. And with service and getting outside of ourselves and helping somebody else, it's vital to our recovery, right? It says in the big book, in the forewords, I don't think it says it in the preface, but maybe it does and I could be wrong. It is vital to permanent recovery that we help and share our message to other compulsive overeaters. But I will say one step further, getting outside of ourselves in as a whole, we have to help other people. And you know, when you put down the food, you put down that obsession, you have an abundance of energy that you're able to go towards. And there's no better feeling than being able to help somebody out, right? In my disease, did I think that? No, I was an asshole. And I can be every morning when I wake up. I have to pray for the willingness to show up and do God's will. Because if I don't, it's Michelle's will. So what does service look like today? Service looks like it's 8:30 at night. And yeah, I want to sit and watch more Netflix on my couch, but I'm going to get in the car and drive someone to pick up their car at the gas station. Service looks like I have a family birthday party tonight, and I said I would pick up flowers, even though I don't want to stop on the way. Although I do kind of like flowers. So maybe I do a little bit. Service looks like babysitting on a work night, right? And I have to be up really early. All those things. I'm so grateful that I can show up for my family. I'm learning how to be a friend. And it's hard and it's uncomfortable because I have to be honest and I'm a people pleaser and I don't like to say no, right? We have service to our relationships. We have a duty as a friend to be honest and show up, whatever that means. And I just want to say, you know, my experience with sponsorship has changed in that way of service, of we have a duty to be honest. Right? Because if we're not honest, if we're dishonest with each other and our fellows in this room or sponsees or sponsor, whatever it is, we don't get better and we're not giving them a service. It was weirdly stated, but that's okay. So I want to say I'm so grateful for this program. I really never thought that I would feel the way I do. Even when I was in OA, I never thought that I would feel the way I do. And I often marvel at the fact that I feel this way, and it's not because of a pill. It's not because of anything. It's just because I've worked this program and I got clean and I'm honest. Is every day like this? No. Sometimes I have really bad days. And sometimes I want to go back to those isolating behaviors, but I push through anyways. I can have misgivings, but I concede. I do it. I show up even when it's hard. And I have friends. I'm surrounded by friends. I'm surrounded by family. These rooms are my family. Second family, you know, we get to have that. We get to have the fellowship that we crave. You don't have to do it by yourself. You don't do it by yourself. This is a we program, we of Alcoholics Anonymous, not Michelle Moss, a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, decided to go out and do it by herself, right? Like that's not how this works. You got to lean in. So with that, I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you so much for letting me be of service. And I can't believe I made it 30 minutes.
Yeah.
With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Michelle. Right now, it's a time of question and answers to about 10:50 or 10:55. So go at it. Laura, go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Laura T., compulsive overeater. Michelle, so I love you. Ding, ling, ling, ling. And every time I hear you speak, I hear something else. I hear something usually that I don't want to hear, but I probably need to hear. So this time I want to ask you, you said you were having trouble putting everything down, you know, all of your alcoholic substances. So, you know, I'm I feel like I'm abstinent. I'm eating what I say I'm eating. And I'm having trouble letting go of the weight. And so what do you do? What do you do now? What did you do?
Yeah, sure. So I did a couple things. One, do you know the red light, green light, yellow light food list?
Yes. I don't think
there is no yellow light for me.
Right.
It's green for me. If there is some, and after I had worked the steps and I had gone through with my sponsor, if there's something that I was like, I don't know about this, like for instance, bananas, right? Like I had put down bananas and then I tried it later on and guess what? I can't have bananas. They're not a safe food for me. So that's what I did to get rigorously honest. And I wasn't told about the remove the yellow light until after I had made the list, which was tough. But I will say, right, like we can't go in and think like, oh, I'm going to get rid of it and it's going to be gone forever. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. So that's the first thing I needed to do to really like clean and scoop it out. The second thing I did was I contacted a dietitian. I am not an expert on food. I cannot tell my sponsees what to eat, how much to eat. I can't even tell myself how much to eat. My full scale, it's broken, right? Like I could eat all the vegetables in the world, but that is why I measure my food. I leave it up to fact. I plan my food every evening. I say, this is what I'm having. I sit down with intention. I follow the meal plan my dietitian gives me. I leave the rest up to God. And when it comes to the actual weight in terms of like, is it coming off fast enough? Is it not? I leave that up to my higher power. I will say, and this is just my program, everybody is different. I do get on the scale once every other week. I use it as a form of data and I send it over to my dietitian. If my dietitian is unhappy with my progress or thinks it could change, I get help with that, right? Like I don't make those decisions. I make no decisions about my food on my own. And I'll be honest as well. There have been times that I haven't followed my plan and I share with my sponsor what I eat and I make a commitment to get on track with it. But our plan of eating is not our abstinence. I will say one thing though, I don't eat by outcome-based eating. I don't eat to lose weight. I didn't eat to lose weight. I had to put the idea of weight loss on the back burner and let my dietitian focus on that. I need to focus on my recovery, right? Like right now I'm going to focus on getting through the day without picking up my substances or behaviors. For instance, a behavior for me that I abstain from, I don't online food order by myself, period, nothing. I love the high and the rush of putting things in the basket and taking them out of the basket. Fantasizing over food videos. Like I could watch cake decorating all day long and just have glazed eyes. I'm technically not eating it, but for me, it's a behavior. So I hope that answers your question.
It helps. Thank you so much.
Any other questions or shares?
I have a question. Can I ask a question?
I'm going to ask a question.
Sure.
Right now, I do not have a sponsor. And I did have one. And it's like, I'm really bad at homework. Many years ago, I did have a sponsor. And all I did was call in my food. And I lost like 30 pounds. So I'm just wondering, I know it's not just about food. It's about, you know, it's a spiritual program. Do you have some advice for me?
Yeah, I would say, you know, for me, my sponsorship, I will say I have struggled in the past with making my sponsor my higher power. That is, and previous sponsors who I've made my higher power, and guess what? That hasn't worked out. But I will say my sponsorship experience in this program, And really learning from my sponsor and trusting my sponsor was a very big piece of my getting started and getting on this journey. I had to really trust and let go with who my sponsor was. I had to trust that, first of all, that this person has what I want, right? Like before, what I used to do is I'd be like, available sponsor, pick me. And sometimes that might be necessary if you really need someone right away. But I picked my sponsor over time the way I plan my food, with intention. Does my sponsor have what I want? Like genuinely, is she modeling a program that I admire? And if that's the case, I'm willing to do what she says, or he, you know, depending on your case, because I trust that if it can work for you, it can work for me, right? So I really do believe that working with a sponsor that has what you want, but I would also say too, hop in the boat, right? Like one of the things that I love to say about sponsorship is like, we're all on a dock together. Like all the newcomers, people looking for sponsors, we're on a dock, and all the sponsors are in their boat. They have a little boat, a little sailboat with little confetti. And some people have lights and some people have this, and everybody's boat is different. And that's how they work their program. Everybody's a little bit different. And sometimes a sponsor comes up to the boat and says, hey, I have a seat. You want to come on board? I'm going to take you on. And then I'll hop in the boat. Just hop in the boat. And it might be scary to like make that jump from like the dock to the boat, but eventually you're going to have your own boat and you're going to be sailing up to the dock and saying, hey, you want to come see my boat? I got a seat open, right? Like that's how it works. You just got to trust that making that jump or that little step. You got to step into the boat. You got to sit down. You got to listen. You got to learn how to sail. We don't know how to do this. We have to learn it from somebody. It's not something we're born with. It's not like we're born and it's like, oh, this is what it means to be a compulsive overeater. We learn from the book. We learn from each other. That's what we have to do. When you're getting started as a sponsor, the biggest thing I can say is, let go and listen. Just try it. I heard in a meeting once, a speaker meeting, we have an open AA, she said, you don't have to want what I have, but do you want what you have right now? Like, do you want what you have?
That's a good one. Yeah.
But if you don't, how do you know you don't want what I have? You know, so there's all ways to look at it, but basically the moral of the story is get in the boat. So
thank you. We
do have a question over here. I'm going to share my screen if that's okay.
Hey everyone. Hi, Nancy. Compulsive eater, bulimic. Michelle, in one of my favorite stories in the big book, one of the stories that I pay attention to, it's one about Jim and putting the whiskey in the milk. And the statement was he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. So I'm just curious if you would share with us what you do to continue to enlarge in your spiritual life.
Oh, I love that question, because this is something I'm doing, right? Like we all have to, we're always enlarging our spiritual life until we stop. I'll be honest and say there was a period of time where I stopped enlarging my spiritual life, and boy, did it not feel good. If we fail to enlarge our spiritual life, we will go back into the food, right? Like they call it sometimes like a prelapse. I do a couple things to enlarge my spiritual life. And just, I more think about it like growing my relationship with God or my higher power. So what I do is I wake up in the morning and I talk to God. That is one thing I do. It doesn't have, for me, it's not a long thing, but I wake up in the morning, I talk to God, I pray. I have changed up my meditation practice. Meditation wasn't something I did for a bit. I'll be honest. It is a newer thing for me. And I'm, you know, in the spirit of honesty, I'm working on it. I'm quiet and I listen to my higher power. And sometimes I think, is this working? I don't know. But I try different things. So I like to wake up in the morning, I talk to God and I pray. And I ask how I can be directed in my day. I ask how I can be of service, because I often want to wake up and scroll on Instagram and Facebook and even TikTok. So that's one thing I do. The other way that I enlarge my spiritual life as well is I pick up the phone and I call newcomers and I try to be of service. And when service is still one of those things that just baffles my mind, because I never got out of myself before this program. I never did anything for anybody. And if I did something, it was like this whole big to-do because it was like once in a blue moon. So I enlarge my spiritual life also by helping others in whatever way that means, even on a work call, right? Like I offered to help somebody take on a little bit of extra work because I had some bandwidth. That's a form of service. And then last but not least, something else that I do, and this is just me, I don't think this is an outside issue, but I'm very, I love learning about like different energy. And I love special stones and crystals, and I believe in magic. I've always believed in magic as a little girl. And I do really attribute that as a piece of my higher power. If this program could take my life in absolute shambles, that's a form of magic. That is magic. So,
thank you.
That's what I do.
Thank you. We have 1 minute. Does anybody else have any questions or comments?
I just want to say thanks. Thank you. That's all.
Ditto. That's really right. A very connecting experience for me. So thank you.
I'd like to say thank you too. It was very moving listening to your story and to see the positive energy coming from you now.
Thank you so much.